Randy Roberts was absolutely right when he said that if we do not read the Bible and study the Bible, we'll not know how to pray. The Bible is our instruction booklet. It is our spiritual manual, and God has given it to us. It is without error. It is impeccable in its righteous teachings. And so may God give us grace this morning to approach this book, not just as any other book, but the book of all books, God being the author of it, and He's given us His blessed word. If you would please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, verse number 17. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." I want to speak this morning on the subject of the downward direction of grace. The downward direction of grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Each of the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, present the Lord Jesus Christ in a different way. This is one reason why when you study your Bible, you ought to study all of your Bible. When you're reading through the books of the New Testament, be sure to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for each person presents a certain facet of the life of Jesus and emphasizes that the other writers do not. For instance, Matthew presents Christ as King of the Jews. You will find a certain phrase mentioned over and over again in Matthew. You'll not find that predominantly in the other writers. And that phrase is this: the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. He presents Jesus Christ as King of the Jews. Mark comes along and presents Christ as the servant. Our Lord Jesus said that He did not come to be ministered unto or to be served, but that He might minister to, He might serve, and teach those things which the Father had given Him. You find the servantship of Christ in Mark. Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man. Of the four, Luke was the only one who was a doctor. He was a medical doctor, and he was interested highly in the human physical physique of the Lord Jesus Christ, His being as a human being, as a man. He presents Christ as the Son of Man. You read such phrases like, for instance, in Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." However, John presents Christ as the Son of God. It is found only in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." John approaches Christ Jesus as the Son of God. Well, you say, which one is He? Is He the King of the Jews? Or is He a servant? Or is He the Son of Man? Or is He the Son of God? He's all four. He's all four. Now, John's gospel is very interesting to study. John presents the Lord as the Creator God. In the opening verses of that chapter 1 of his gospel, he says this: "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." He is the Creator God. Jesus Christ is. He then presents Christ as the God of light, L-I-G-H-T, in verses 8 and 9. "He was not that light," speaking of John the Baptist, "but was sent to bear witness of that light," speaking of Christ. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." He then presents God, the Savior in the being of Jesus Christ in verses 11 and 12. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Jesus Christ is presented in John 1 as the Word of God. Verse number 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse number 17, which is our text, Jesus Christ is presented as the vehicle of grace. The vehicle of grace. Once again, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean, the vehicle of grace? It means that Jesus Christ is the conveyor of grace. He transported grace from heaven to this earth. He brought it down. He's the conveyor of grace, the transporter of grace. Our text speaks of two main things. It speaks of the law, and it speaks also of grace. He said the law came by Moses. Moses was the vehicle of the law. Had not there been a Moses, we would not have the law, because the law came to man by means of Moses. That does not mean that Moses originated the law, but he became the vehicle by which God transported the law from heaven to this earth. The law came by Moses. God called Moses to come up into Mount Sinai. When he was atop that mountain, the Lord wrote the law on two tables of stone. And then Moses brought them down to Israel at the foot of a mountain. You say, well, why didn't they go up to get it? He would have killed them. God would have taken their lives had they even touched the holy mount from which the law was given. Moses became the vehicle of the law. He became the vehicle by which God transported law to the people. And from that point on, the people began to know the law. They began to quote the law because Moses was the vehicle that brought it down to them. The text also says that grace came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the vehicle of grace. He is the conveyor of grace. Verse 14 says he was full of grace. Moses was full of the law. Christ was full of grace. And he brought grace down from God out of heaven and bestowed it upon his people. Note carefully, grace had to travel downward to get to man. Grace had to come down to get to man. The direction of grace is not up. The direction of grace is down. It is the only downward, it is the only direction that grace travels, is always down. It is the only direction it can go, only down. We have this morning on this platform and on this pulpit a microphone. I'm wearing a microphone, but I'm calling attention to this microphone. Basically, there are two kinds of microphones. There is an omnidirectional microphone, and then there is a unidirectional microphone. An omnidirectional microphone begins to convey the noise from anywhere within a certain proximity. From the side, the top, the bottom, you can stand over to the side, you can go over to the other side, and the mic is omnidirectional. The other kind of microphone is a unidirectional mic. You have to speak directly into it. And if you do not speak directly into it, it loses its force. It loses its power. Jesus Christ is grace, and grace is unidirectional. It doesn't just splatter and go everywhere. It always goes one particular direction, and it always goes downward. Now, unlike love, love is omnidirectional. Love is omnidirectional. It goes upward to God. As we worship this morning, our worship is going up to God. It goes in the direction of God, and God is in His heaven. And we can look up and say, "Our Father, who art in heaven?" And we can direct our love to God. Sometimes love goes inward to an individual. Two people fall in love. And that love is particularly unique because one is loving the other one with all of their heart. They're directing their love to that one individual. Sometimes love goes outward to mankind. You're to love one another, huh? As I have loved you. And then love goes downward sometimes to the social outcast. You see somebody who is in need. You see someone who's become a victim of circumstance, and you want to reach out and help them and be a blessing to them and bestow some type of love. And sometimes we reach down by love. But ladies and gentlemen, grace is unidirectional. It does not go everywhere. It goes only in one direction. It always goes down. The downward direction of grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I want to pursue it. You've already sung about it this morning, and maybe or maybe not you recognized or did not recognize what you sang, but you sang a glorious theological truth in the first hymn this morning. The little word stoop was used. S-T-O-O-P, stoop. You need to write this in your Bible to where you can see it once in a while, and it will remind you of grace. Stooping is the divine posture of grace. Stooping is the divine posture of grace. Why is that true? Because it has to go down, down, down. Grace always goes down. Alexander McLaren made this statement, and how true it is. Grace means the unconditional, undeserved, spontaneous, eternal, stooping, pardoning love of God. God stoops to bestow grace on sinners. It goes downward and not upward and not outward. Mr. Phillips said, grace is something in God which is at the heart of all of His redeeming activities. It is the downward stoop and reach of God bending from the heights of His majesty to touch and grasp our insignificance and poverty. The key words meaning downward stoop and God's bending. God's bending. It is from all of this I want to speak on the subject, the downward direction of grace. A man will never be saved apart from the grace of God. And God's grace always goes down. Turn to Psalm 14. And I want you to notice in that little brief verse or two, it makes mention of the fact that God looked down. God looked down. pardon me, the book of Psalms 14, verses 2 and 3. He says in verses 2 and 3 that the Lord looked down. Did you see that? The Lord looked down. He looked down from where? He looked down from heaven. Now that's an anthropomorphic expression, because God hasn't, He doesn't have to look anywhere to see everything, because He's always there and everywhere there. But we're referring to somewhat of a picture of the personality of Jesus Christ, who was at one place and then another place. The Lord looked down from heaven. Now, why did He look down from heaven? He looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Picture that in your mind if you can. God in heaven looked down on one occasion and saw the human race to see if there was anybody in the human race that sought God and did understand Him. What did He find out? They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. If that's a little repugnant to your senses this morning, the original Hebrew word said stinking. They were stinking filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. God looked down. May I remind you, God did not look around. God looked down. God took notice of our sinful depravity and of our hopeless dilemma. The little word gaze there, the little word He looked. It is the word that we would normally think of. God gazed. When you use that word, He gazed at something. He stared at something. He did not just quickly look at it and look a different direction. He looked at an object and continued to look at it and look at it and look at it and look. He stared at it. God looked down. He looked down. And what did He see? Filthiness. Filthiness is a hard thing to look at. And if it's filthy enough, you want to turn your eyes the other way. Some people have become sick because of an environment in which they're faced to look at filth day after day after day. That's all God saw when He looked down. Now, the Arminian would have you believe that when He looked down, He saw the people who were going to hear the gospel and they'd trust Jesus as their Savior. No, He saw a bunch of filthy sinners. That's what God saw when He looked down. That's what God sees today, apart from His grace on His people. That's what He sees today when He looks down. It was a prolonged look. It was a penetrating look. Why would He do that? Why would He do that? Surely our God has more to do than to look down from heaven. Huh? He chose to do it out of His grace. It was grace that directed His vision downward, always downward. He could have looked away, could He not? Huh? I said He could have looked away. And had He looked away, the whole world would have gone to hell. But God fixed a stare, a holy stare, and directed it downward. The downward direction of grace. He looked down. Think of how small, how insignificant we are. Think of how far we're separated from Him. Why would He ever look this way? Why would He ever give us the time of day? Why would God, who is so busy, He never sleeps, He never slumbers, He's always working, why would God take the time to look down to us? One answer, grace. sweet grace. It always travels downward. Not only did he look down. While you're in Psalm, turn over to Psalm 31, verses 2 through 4, and you find out he bowed down. He bowed down. Psalm 31, verses 2 through 4. Bow down thine ear to me. David is praying. And he prays to the Lord, who is way, way, way up yonder. Bow down thine ear to me and deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Pull me out of the net, verse 4, that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. He bowed down. Not only did God look down, but he leaned over and bowed down to hear the cry of his people. And certainly, my dear friends, it's not blasphemy for us to say that God would cup his ear. I do that to show you. He wanted to hear the people's prayer. He wanted to hear what they were saying. He bowed down to do that. He didn't have to listen to us. God doesn't have to listen to you nor to me, but he's pleased to do so in grace. He bowed down and he listened. Sometimes people don't want to hear you. Sometimes people don't listen to what you say. But God bowed down, and when he bowed himself down to listen, he heard something. Not only that, but thirdly, he came down. Did he not? He came down. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Keep in mind, the first point was that God sees. He sees. I've seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry. He bowed down to hear what they had to say. And I also know their sorrows. And then what did he say? I am come down to deliver them. Did you know that God came down to this earth in the body of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily? God came down. God came down. The Bible says in John 3:13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And in John 1:14, the Word became flesh, and what? He dwelt among us. He did not come to visit among us. He came to dwell among us, and he dwelt on this earth for 33 years. God did that. He came down to do that. He looked down. He listened down. And he came down. And this involved his incarnation. Let me read to you from Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Listen to the word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He did not have to come down, but he did come down, and he came down at his own expense. Didn't cost you anything. It cost him everything to come down. Do you realize what this trip from heaven to earth cost him? What was the price? What did it cost him? It says in that Philippian reference, he made himself of no reputation. It is the Greek word, he emptied himself to come down. We pull out the pockets on our trousers when we have nothing left, and we just show everybody how empty the pockets are. He emptied himself. Did he empty himself of love? No, he did not. Did he empty himself of wanting to do what the Father had sent him to do? No, he did not. But he emptied himself of his glory, so that when men saw him, they did not see the glory of God. They saw a humble servant hanging on a cross, brutalized. He came down. He actually came down. He looked down. He bowed down. And he came down. And when he got here, he reached down. He reached down. Never upward. Always downward. In Psalm 40, verses 1 through 2. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 2. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Please notice, every word is the word of God. He brought me up. He did not say he picked me up. He did not say he pulled me up. He said he brought me up. He came down to where David was, and by imputation, he became what David was, and being the Son of God, he brought him up. Used to be, many, many years ago, if you went into a department store or into a building that was multi-storied, there would be elevators. And you'd get on those elevators, but you were not alone. There was what was called an elevator operator. And he was always there, supposedly with a smile on his face. Good morning, how's everything going? What floor, please? You tell him what floor you want to get to. He brought me up from the basement to the penthouse. Jesus Christ did not pull me up. He got down where I was. And he brought me up. He actually reached down to do that. In reaching down, he stooped down. For instance, the lady or the woman, whichever you prefer, who was caught in the very act of adultery. In John chapter 8, she was brought by these bloodthirsty Pharisees who wanted her stoned like Moses and the law said. And when they brought her to Christ, he stooped down and wrote in the sand. He straightened up and said, those of you who are without sin, let him cast the first stone. And again the second time, he stooped back down in the sand. He came down to where that woman was. He stooped. Can you imagine why he would ever have to stoop? The Son of God, the King of glory, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, stooping. Why? Grace. Grace got to go down. It's got to go down. He fell down in Gethsemane. After he had instructed his disciples, they went over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Christ chose out Peter, James, and John. He dismissed the rest, but he said, you stay here, and Peter, James, and John, I want you to go with me. And they went with him, and the Lord Jesus Christ entered into prayer. But just before he prayed, the words of Scripture says he fell on his face. How much lower can you get than to fall on your face? He fell on his face and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He's reaching down. He stepped down to Calvary. What do you mean he stepped down to Calvary? Well, my dear friends, he said while on the cross of Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? From his sovereignty on the throne to becoming sin for us at Calvary. That's stepping down. That's not a promotion. That is a demotion. Downward. Always going downward. He reached down. You study the Gospels. Most exciting books in the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because their theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. He reached down for the demoniac from Gadara. He had traveled the Sea of Galilee and found this man who was possessed with hundreds and thousands of demons. And he cast the demons out of that man. He stooped down. Why keep company with a man like that? He was stooping down. Stooping down. He reached down for the depraved, the woman at the well who said, give us this water that we thirst not. And Christ said, you need to go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you rightly said, the man you're living with, not your husband. She was an adulteress, but he reached down. He went out of his way to Samaria to talk to this kind of a woman. He reached down, down, down. He reached down for the diseased leper who were not even allowed to come into contact with anybody else because of their law. In the book, he's leper. And cleansed him. If thou wilt, Lord, the leper said, thou canst make me clean. And Christ said, I will. Be thou made clean. He came down to where he was. Down. At this point in the message, let me raise a very important question. How far did he have to reach you? How far down did he have to go to get to where you were? What price did he have to pay to become what you were before he saved you? Down. Down. Always down. I don't know who wrote it. One of my favorites. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be, but the Savior in love gave me peace from above. When he reached down his hand for me, that's how sinners are saved, by God's grace. He looked down. He bowed down. He came down. He reached down. Suffer me, please, church. He went down. He went down. Turn to Ephesians 4, 8 through 9. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, this has to do with his ascension. At the close of his earthly ministry, he ascended up on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, don't stop there. Go to verse 9 that follows. Now, he ascended, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? Now, you know enough English to know if you ascend, you're going up, and if you descend, you're going down. He went up, sure he did, but in doing that, he previously went down. He descended. Where did he go? Into the lower parts of the earth. I do not believe it could possibly refer to a burial such as an earthly grave in a cemetery. That's not the heart of the earth. To say the most, it's 6 feet under. But he went into the heart of the earth. And verse 10 said, he that descended is the same one that ascended up far above heavens that he might fill all things. Put your ears on. He was taken from the cross and placed in a tomb. That we agree. Have no problem with that. While his body lay in the tomb, how long was it there? 3 days and three nights. While his body lay in the tomb, he went down into the regions below to release the Old Testament saints who were captive in paradise and to bring them out. My goodness alive. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And Simon Peter comes along to put a postscript on it in 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus Christ was a perfect human being, body, soul, and spirit. And while his body lay in the tomb 3 days and three nights, his soul went to preach to the spirit world. And he released those in paradise and took them with him, that when he ascended as our leader and captain and the forerunner might go before us, as he went up, they went up and he took them into presence of God. That's a reason Paul said to be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. We don't live in the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament now. And it's changed at the resurrection, my dear friends. The paradise saved people were brought out and taken with the Lord up to heaven as he ascended into the Father. Lift up your head, O ye gates! And be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and a King of glory shall come in. I believe the King of glory did, and I think he had a host of paradise-saved people with him. He went down to get them. He went down. My, suffer me. He sat down. Come on. He sat down. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. The Bible says this, but this man, talking about Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's one reason why I'm not a Roman Catholic. I'm so glad I don't have to go to Mass every week and put Jesus back on the cross to take care of some more sins I've committed. I'm so thankful that he died one time, and when he died one time, it was accepted as perfect and acceptable and propitiated, and therefore he sat down never to die again. Never to die again. He sat down. When our Lord arose from the grave, he went back into heaven, took his seat at the Father's right hand, and there he continually intercedes for his people in matters of their eternal salvation. His work of atonement was finished. He doesn't need to walk around and he doesn't That's what he was sent to do. And he did it perfectly. And he's back in heaven seated at the Father's right hand. He will once again come down at his second coming. He's not through coming down. He's going to come again. Listen to the reading of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. My goodness, how you do that without a megaphone? How you do that without public address system? The Lord himself, not an angel, but the Lord himself. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Will descend. That means to go down. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel. With a trump of God. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Coming down. Coming down. And he's going to come down that we might go up. Why would he want to come back into this wicked, Christ-rejecting world? To get his bride. To get those that belong to him. We don't belong down here. Have you not figured that out yet? God's people don't belong down here. We have a citizenship in heaven. And he's coming back to get us. And take us to a home he's been working on now for 2,000 years. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's coming back. But to come back, he's going to come descending, descending. Well, my notes say conclusion. Man must come down, listen to me carefully, if he's ever saved. Yes, sir. You're just going to have to come down. You cannot sit up there on your little perch of self-righteousness and poo-poo the sins of other people that do things worse than you do. You can't be saved with that kind of attitude. You're going to have to come down. You say, well, I'm not one that backs off and comes down. You can't be saved. You've got to come down. Jesus was walking down the road through Jericho, and there was a little tax-collecting Jew at the top of a tree there by the roadside. And the Lord Jesus Christ stopped in his tracks and said, Zacchaeus, got to come down, son. You know why? Jesus Christ never saved anybody looking up. He only saves people as he looks down in grace. And he's not going to save Zacchaeus as long as Zacchaeus is up. Zacchaeus come. And the moment Zacchaeus came down, it says he received him joyfully. Got to come down. Got to come down. Grace does not travel up. Has to travel down. That's where grace is. If you're on top of it all, you'll never know grace. But if you're at the bottom of the pile, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Look to Christ who came to seek and to save that which was lost. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please, for prayer.